The reading today is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For the word of the Lord.
Let me invite Graham Ford to speak to us now. Thank you, Graham.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry that I'm not Dan. Dan's better looking than me, but I'm sorry. It's great to be with you, and I hope I can do an equally as good job. How about we pray before we have a look at God's word, and morning to those online too. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for your word, and we pray that you might speak to us through it today. Please encourage us where we need encouragement. Need rebuking, may you rebuke us. Lord, whatever we need, we pray that your word would minister to our beings so that we might be better equipped to serve you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, any barrier is a problem, and there are certainly various barriers through our world. You can have language barriers, you can have racial barriers, you can have barriers caused by an ideology. Wars can create barriers, but whatever the barrier is, they're very much like a brick wall, aren't they? They can be physical, and yet they can be relational barriers as well. You think of a child who's been excommunicated from their friends. Very disheartening to watch that child just be isolated. Barriers actually intensify feelings of alienation. And they do that because we were made to belong. And in fact, people actually long to belong to something, don't they? We need to belong. It's just who we are. In verses 11 and 12, Paul actually tells us to remember that you were excluded from Israel. And my first point today is to remember that you were separated from Christ. That is, anyone who wasn't a Jew was separated and excluded from God's promises. But why would he say remember a negative? Why does he say remember that we were not one of God's inner people, that we're an outcast in a sense? In Ephesians 2:1, Paul says, you were dead in your transgressions. And then in verses 4 and 5, he says, because of his great love for us, he made us alive. Now, the point is, when Paul goes back there in Ephesians 2 and tells us we're dead in our transgressions, the point is that it's not our ethnic heritage that separates us from a holy God. The barrier is our impurities. The barrier between me and God is my sin or my impurities or my unholiness. And any denial that someone would have of God's work in Christ would mean that the sin barrier, the problem barrier, remains always while that is happening. And so if there's any denial of who Christ is, then you continue in a life of being dead as well. Now, this is true for Jews and Gentiles alike, now that Christ has come. Before Christ, everything else was, well, powerless to achieve the outcome needed. Before Christ, the disconnect remained permanently. And so the Jews had a system, didn't they, that was repeated day after day, year after year. And logically speaking, when one is in Christ, or if they're not in Christ, then they're out with God. And if you're not in Christ, then you're dead. And people are insufficient in themselves to remove or bridge the gap between God and them. We can't reach a holy God when we're full of impurities and we're dead and can't do anything to save ourselves. In chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, people lived, this is before they met Christ, gratifying the cravings of their sinful nature. That is to say, humanity actually revels in the sensual pleasures. And these sensual pleasures that they reveled in, that lifestyle, added fuel to sin's fire. And it strengthens the hostility that is between God and man. And Paul says to remember that you and me, we did that too. He wants us to remember that. He wants us to remember that we loved the things that distance people from a pure, holy God. And you know what? All the treasures in the world and all the sinful pleasures of the world cannot deliver that satisfaction or deliver the need to belong or deliver our eternal need. Nothing in this world would deliver that eternal need. To be in Christ is to belong to God, is to live in his universe as God intended. But outside of Christ, that's impossible. You cannot live with full, complete, content satisfaction outside of Christ. So without Christ, remember, there's no hope and there's no security. But let me go back to my question. Why would we remember the negative? Why don't he say, remember the good things? But he says, remember the negative. And the reason is, lest we forget that without Christ, we're dead. And without Christ, the world we live in, the people are dead. And so it helps us to remember the lost. And it helps us to never, ever, I hope, treat an outsider badly. Because we were outsiders without Christ. Once we were the outsiders. Now, I want to say thank you for sending Andrew and Arby and being involved in their missionary work. So encouraging that you're involved in this bigger aspect than just ourselves. And I want to encourage you to keep on seeking the lost, whether it be here or over there, but supporting that work. And if you can't go yourself, well, of course, it's sending others to go, isn't it, and to support them. So together that we can contribute to a world that knows Jesus, because without Christ, they're dead. Now look at verse 13, will you? This will be my second point. Reconciliation. But now in Christ, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now that but, that first but that you're seeing is often described in the Bible as the most beautiful but in the world. In Christ, in chapter 1, it says we have every spiritual blessing, that we're chosen, that we're blameless, that we're holy, that we're redeemed, that we're forgiven. And in effect, he's saying, in the King's salvation in Christ, Jesus, we have what verse 14 says, the barrier of sin is gone. The dividing wall of hostility is torn down. So what the blood of bulls failed to do permanently for the Jews was achieved in the blood of Jesus, permanently. And the judgment that the idolatrous Gentiles deserved was paid in full by the blood of Jesus. So the hostility between God and people is destroyed all through Jesus' sacrificial death. In verse 14, we're told that Jesus is our peace. So the two groups, Jews and Gentiles, are both one. Both Jews and Gentiles in Christ can enter into the meeting place and meet with the living God. Let me show you what the temple looked like. The temple, there was a curtain. That little blue wavy line is meant to be a curtain that's in the middle of that little building there. And you can't really see it. It's supposed to be inside, but I've just put it there so we could see it. That curtain separated the priest, and who could go into the holy place, but not in the Holy of Holies. Only once a year the high priest could go in there, and that was the curtain that separated them. And it separated them from God. The wall that the two arrows point to is it's about this high, 152.5 centimeter high wall that went up to here on me, if you measure it. And that separated the Gentiles from the Jewish courts, and the Gentiles were out the outside one. The Gentile courts were actually lower than the women's court, which is the next one in. And the women's court was lower than the men's court, which was lower than the holy place where the priest could go. And the Gentile courts were the furthest away from all the action. But wherever you are, you're sort of looking up to the holy place, slowly, gradually looking up. On the Gentile dividing wall is that inscription that I've got written there that you might not be able to see it, but it says, trespassers prosecuted by execution with yourself to blame. So when you're a Gentile and you walk up to the wall, that's what it says. You cross this barrier, you cross this wall and you're dead. A lovely welcoming sign. Now, Christ demolishes the dividing wall, and Christ shreds the curtain through his blood. Christ's death killed the hostility in verse 16. And so through Christ, those who were far away can come near, and those who were close, the Jews, would be reconciled through Christ. And so both the people are being reconciled, but they're also being reconciled vertically to God. And in verse 14, the horizontal to each other, all through the cross of Christ. So in other words, there is no need for anyone in the world to be far away. No need for anyone to be close, actually, because the Bible says we can be in Christ. In verse 15, God set aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, This is not saying God's moral standard, his holy laws are irrelevant and not beneficial. Remember, Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I've come to fulfill those, and not a dot or a stroke will be removed." Now, what Paul is talking about is the actual consequences that the law brings, the consequences of breaking the law, the rituals that the Jews were hoping to help them, was all abolished in Christ. So the law cannot condemn anyone. The law cannot judge anyone that is in Christ, for he was cursed in their place. As for the regulations, the food laws, the laws of men, circumcision, the ceremonial washing, the sacrificial system, it's all been set aside, it's all been abolished. But these cannot provide lasting peace with the God, the Father, the Holy God in heaven. Remembering those, they were done over and over again because there's no permanent reconciliation until Jesus came and put an end to it all. Salvation was never found in a regulation, but in Christ. And in Christ we belong, and we understand that we're God, God is God, and that we're creatures, that God is independent and we are dependent on him, that God is autonomous and that we're his subjects. And because we're his subjects, it means that people are equal. All people everywhere are equal. No longer do we look down on any ethnic group. No longer do we keep an attitude that would divide us from them and us. We are not to reconstruct what Christ has demolished, that is, to build laws and rules and regulations so people can jump through hoops to come and follow Jesus. He tore all that down. They were all there to point to Christ. What we are and what we received in Christ ought to be the way that we welcome outsiders, like Christ welcomed us. If Christ is our peace, then I can be at peace with myself because my guilt is gone. If Christ is my peace, I can live at peace with my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus because he died for them. In fact, if Christ is my peace, I will live as far as possible for me to do so at peace with my enemies. Because he drew near to me. He came to me who once was an enemy. Let me turn to my third point, the results. In verse 19, he says, "So then, the results." Now look at how God has drawn us in. He says, "You are not foreigners, not strangers of some random city, but fellow citizens with all God's saints." But not only city members, he actually says we're members of God's household. See that? We've gone from being orphaned to the adoption agency to be adopted and to be heirs of a family. From the very outskirts of the West, in a sense, to the CBD, to the Centrepoint Tower, we've gone from the very Gentile temple courts with that sign that said you'll drop dead if you cross this barrier, to the Jewish courts, into the Holy of Holies, into the very most inner sanctuary of God. That's what Jesus has done for us. All through Christ's curse and smashing the dividing wall. So Jesus, in a sense, has laid out the welcome mat, flung open the doors, the palace doors of heaven, and greets us and says, "Come, enter my Father's house. The results continue, don't they? In verse 15, this new family becomes a whole building. In verse 21, it is the holy temple where God dwells by his Spirit. Christ the cornerstone, the apostles the foundations, believers are spiritual stones. And person by person is being added, gathered, united, so that God can dwell with his Shekinah glory in his people. Remember that glory that actually went and filled the temple in the Old Testament? And when the temple was built and the glory of God went down, the people had to run away from it. It was so awesome. And yet here we sit today. We are the people of God filled with the Shekinah glory. What a wonderful privilege we have. Christ's purpose in verse 15 was to create one new man of mixed ethnic background that become a new city, a new commonwealth, and it is a brand new humanity, all in Christ. There were three women who walked into a room, a messianic Jew who became a believer, a Coptic Egyptian who became a believer, and an Iranian Muslim who became a believer. Sounds like I'm going to say a joke, doesn't it? But I'm not. But these three walked in on a stage full of people at a conference. And on the stage in front of the whole room, these ladies washed each other's feet. Then they embraced and prayed a prayer of blessing on each other and the people groups that they represented. What a powerful enactment of the forgiveness and reconciliation that Christ brings. That these three ladies who would have been enemies now washed each other's feet and prayed a blessing. If I'm a spiritual stone and you're a spiritual stone, the spiritual one will seek to reduce any hostility between brothers and sisters and humanity. If I'm in conflict or have a negative attitude toward others who are in Christ, can I encourage you to say sorry to God and break down any wall of hostility that you might have? If you fear the stranger or a new arrival or a particular ethnic group that's coming to our nations, can I ask that you ask Jesus to change you and welcome them and reach out to them? Why is it important? Well, remember, you were far away. Remember, I was excluded, and so too were you. God reconciled us by forgiving us in Christ. And if Christ did that for me, can I not try and do that for everyone else that I know? Can I not long for them to be reconciled too? Well, how do we do this? And look at verse 17. He said, it was done by preaching peace to those who are far away, peace to those who are near, on our doorstep, those neighbors of yours, those people across the road, those people in the city, those people around the globe. In verse 18, it says that we bring them to the Father, our Heavenly Father. And if you are in Christ, I'm just encouraging you to do one thing today, and I hope you've got it by now. If you are in Christ, live and be the new humanity and seek to bring peace and reconciliation and people to the Father through Christ. Let me pray. Our Father God, would you help us to be vessels of peace, vessels of reconciliation, and give us a heart for the lost and those that are excluded from the wonderful new humanity that you are creating. Help us to open up the doors and welcome those who do not know you. Help us to open our homes. Help us to be reconciled to each other. Help us to forgive, love, and care, and make Christ known. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.